Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we are joined by a fellow Swami crazy, Mr. Keith Foster. Keith, you ready to go for a little run?
Yeah, I am. I definitely.
All right, man.
I'm prepared for that.
Something like 200 miles, something like that.
I guess in some ways it's just a mental thing. That's what I've been trying to get over now, thinking about
yeah.
it the first time.
It's getting real now, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
It's starting to think more about it.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. You know, where the breaks are, how you're going to fuel, definitely calories, how many calories I got to get through, things
Yep.
like that. And, you know, definitely where we have restrictions on the beach and stuff like that, where you get time and what is my, you know, pace I'm trying to keep at, and all kinds of things, I guess. And once you start playing with the math and looking at it,
that's fun. Ultra math is a blast.
nah.
It gets more fun now. Now, see, you and Joel are going to be at a little bit of a disadvantage because you have not gotten into the ultra math brain from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. yet, have you?
Oh, no.
Yeah,
Not
boy,
very
that's the best part right there.
I can imagine hallucinations and things and how you're trying to think about what you're doing.
Oh, dude, it's funny. People who have been with me from those, you know, like 2 to 4 a.m. time, just go, the fact that you're moving is an absolute miracle because you have no brain whatsoever. And I can't disagree with them. So
Yeah.
most of my wrong turns have come between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. So
Ooh, okay.
yeah. So don't follow me from 2 a.m. to 4 a.m.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna keep straight.
Yeah, keeping straight. Yeah, if you see headlights going off in a turn, you know, off, you know, going on a left turn or something, you go, there goes Horner again. He's lost again. It'll be fun. So hey, tell us a little bit about who is Keith Foster. What do you do for work, life outside of running crazy distances?
So I do cybersecurity. I've been doing it for a long time. Worked with the government and government agencies, those kind of things. And usually you meet some crazy people, you know, out there. So CrossFit and things like that, people dedicated to certain things and, you know, camaraderie, and that kind of really helped and kind of pushed me into running and then continuous, kind of like more long distance running side of things.
So when did you start running?
I mean, I've always been kind of a runner. I played soccer and stuff through early ages and things. The military, I was in the military for 4 or 5 years, and we had to run there. And even afterwards, I kind of recreationally ran. I mean, I didn't do, like, you know, it wasn't until like 2014 that I actually did like marathon and stuff like that.
Okay.
Actually,
So where did you grow up? Did you grow up in this area?
No, Texas. So
okay, Texas.
yeah.
Wow, what part?
Central around Austin area.
Okay.
My dad worked for Fort Hood. He was civil service out there and
okay.
There for 30 some years. And so,
wow. So were you Army?
Yeah, I was Army. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And now from our conversation the last time we were out running together, is that where you got into the whole cybersecurity thing, was while you were in the service?
Kind of. So they were digitizing the Army in early 90s from the Corps down to divisions and stuff. So computers were, you know, Unix and Sun Solaris, and, you know, networking was just starting, you know, the internet really right after I got in, seemed like the internet started. It wasn't
okay.
until after that, yeah, in the early 90s. So you think 94, 90, yeah.
Okay. And so how did you go from, you know, the military, and like, did you take courses to get into the cybersecurity thing, or how did that happen?
I mean, I went back, got degrees. I did, and they started doing information assurance for masters. And then, so I was in telecom, and telecom did a bust in early 2000s.
Okay.
So it really changed what I was going to do. And I thought about it. I was like, well, let me go into computer science a little more directly with information security and assurance that they were doing. So it's kind of like a new upcoming thing, and wasn't until like 2008 and stuff that I actually worked more for the government stuff related.
Okay. So how did you end up here? Were you in the military here?
No, I wasn't. I just kind
Okay.
of migrated, I guess. I lived a while. I worked in Texas for a while in telecom, and then I moved to North Carolina in Raleigh area. And basically, they're same thing, Research Triangle Park, and they had telecom out there. And we would go all over the place and, work with different companies, manufacturers and stuff. And right at that time is, basically where everything went downhill. It was like 2003.
Okay.
Like MCI went out of business,
Yeah.
went bankrupt, and a bunch of them, MCI, Northern Telecom, all those really kind of hit rock bottom. And so I was like, okay, this is not good. Find
Right.
something else. There's a dwindling market for people in this kind of aspect. So yeah, made the
Wow.
change.
That's
That
crazy.
was a really big transition because all our, everything what we did was off of really computers and things, as well as networking and, fiber optics and all kinds of things. So really wasn't understanding the basis of all that and understanding, how they communicate and, protocols and things like that, really helped me with other things later. So,
Okay, that is awesome. So, how did you end up in Hampton Roads?
So I knew people that lived here when I was in Raleigh, and I was going back and forth, and just to see, they lived over this way and would come and visit. And then ended up going back to school over this way, and then just kind of settled here afterwards,
Okay.
basically another.
That is cool. And so was like, were you like just sort of always recreational running, just staying fit type of thing during that time or what?
Kind of. And then, we got into military. We worked over there, joint staff, and they had a lot of different people. So we met a lot of people that were SEALs or soft team and stuff like that. And they were into CrossFit, and they had a gym, thing over there. And so, kind of getting in with them, it was actually kind of interesting because, they kind of treated you as the same. You were out there just as like them. And
Okay.
so, you kind of developed a lot of camaraderie and things. And then I started running, mostly more for health reasons and stuff. And then I did end up meeting Andrea,
Okay.
and she lived over in Suffolk at the time, and she was like, oh, they were training to go do this marathon. And so I started that time, and that's when I ran the first Shamrock marathon that I did
Really?
over with her.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we met George Nelson. We did a relay race, 200 mile from, thing is what, Charlottesville to
Wow, the old
Greensburg.
Colonial Relay.
Yeah, I did it with him and a bunch of other people, and Andrea and a bunch of other people. So it was kind of interesting, and started getting different distances. I think that's where she started getting into the ultra stuff, and I was
Okay.
still kind of pushing away.
Wow, that's crazy. I did not. Wow, so you've known Andrea for a long time.
Yeah, had we done that one, and then we did the other one, the Tuna 200 relay.
Well, okay. Well, I heard the Tuna 200's coming back.
Is it?
Yep.
It was
So
fun.
that'll be interesting.
It
I think we should run it individually.
individually. I've seen
Yeah.
like two-man teams, but they were like a lot of college cross-country people are doing it like that.
Yeah. I did the Blue Ridge Relay last year, and they had a guy who did it as a single. And he finished, like, I want to say in the top 15 teams running it himself.
How long did he, the
It
distance?
was like, I want to say he did it like in 58 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Blue Ridge Relay is stout because there's some
Yeah.
serious climbs in there. Because it's all on the Blue Ridge Parkway from Virginia all the way down to Asheville.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be because I one time I went into Asheville and you go up on the mountains and then you come back down into the valley of it and you're like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. I've run a couple times in that area, and it's like, ooh, this is some serious running.
Well, that's the
That's
only thing
nuts.
I'm glad about is that this is all flat.
Yeah. Yeah, it is definitely. Oh no, come on, man. You got two bridges.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to run them both a couple weeks ago, so a lot of vert, right?
Yeah.
There you go. So how did you and Joel get hooked up?
It's probably been about 10 years we've been running together, actually.
Okay.
And he was actually looking at it. He's like, I think we've ran about 10,000 miles together. I was like, what?
Wow,
He
that's
said, yeah,
crazy.
but we average about 1,000 miles a year. We've been running about 10 years. I'm like, oh yeah.
That is nuts. And what's really cool is, like, I have never been at a race and just seen one of you. Like,
Wow.
I don't even know what it would be like to go to a race and not see the two of you together and running the bulk of the race together.
Oh yeah, we usually will. I mean, then one person, either one or the other, will feel a little better at the end and go off, usually one way.
Yep. Because I've done a couple of the 10 hours with you and a couple of the 8 hours with you guys, and I mean, you guys are like, side by side the whole time. I
Yeah.
just think it's all. I think it's awesome. I mean, and I was telling somebody, I was like, well, I do know that there will not be a foot race between Joel and Keith at the end of it.
Probably not, nah, not this thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I can predict that Joel and Keith will finish in the identical time.
So sweet. Yeah.
So that's my one prediction that I know will come true in this year's Swami. So you guys have run marathons together, you've run 50Ks together. What's the furthest distance that you guys have run together?
We do the 24-hour one, so
Okay.
I think he got around about 80 miles.
Okay. All right. So 80. So you guys are running your first 100 and your first 200 at the same time. Has that sunk in yet?
Oh, yeah, I know, but I even talked to Thomas a little bit and he was like, yeah, Mike just told me forget about it. If you run 200, you can run 100. It's like, okay.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. 100 will seem like nothing after you've run a 200.
And yeah, that's why I was asking him really, did that help change perspective? And he said, yeah, as far as like your legs become, definitely have a memory to them, afterwards, definitely the further you run, the more, resistant it is, easier to make the distances. So
Yeah.
for
So
sure.
how did you decide to jump into Swami Shuffle 200?
What I think Joel saw a thing from you. I thought it was like the oh yeah, we were talking about something that it was just the day that it came up. I think the registration began,
Right.
and we were looking at it, and he was like, and I think he texted you or something, and you said, oh yeah, it's open. It doesn't last very long. You better think about it, and if you want to do it, do it. kind of.
Nope.
And we're looking, we're like, yeah, crap. Gotta it. He's like, okay. So, I mean, I guess in this way, it's definitely a personal thing. So, everybody asks me why you do certain things and stuff. And it's like, well, to me, I do it for myself, and a lot of ways we kind of help each other. Joel, we talk. A lot of times when we run, we're talking, and a lot of times it's about other things, maybe things are
Right.
going in life and stuff like that. So it does help, definitely that gives you therapy, I guess, and with life and stuff, because things always change, things
Oh, yeah.
happen. Because problem and that, a lot of it, for him, definitely when his sister died and the cancer run became very important to him. So
Yeah.
that definitely kind of motivated and kept us definitely moving in a direction. And I've had other people in my, my family that died from cancer and stuff. So it's definitely one of those that where if we didn't run through the year, we'll definitely run that one. Doesn't matter. And you'll.
So as you have been, training for the 200, have you changed anything in your training, or have you pretty much same old, or what has your approach been?
We've been trying to do a lot more just back-to-back runs. So, long distance runs. So 20, we've done at least we've done a single 40 and then another, amount the next day. So
Okay.
definitely feel how t your legs are tired and stuff, and make sure everything's just going to keep moving, hopefully.
Yeah.
And most of the time we'll do 20 and 20, so you really don't get that much rest between the day, So it helps, we don't feel bad. So it definitely is kind of like mental to me. It's like, okay, even if it starts hurting, I'm probably gonna have to, I'll just have to push through it and keep going and hope in that fashion. But
Yep.
I've tried to change some things with eating, because I've always had a problem with eating. I
Okay.
don't eat enough. And Joel eats way too much. He's
Yeah.
like a garbage can right there. But I'm like, oh my God, what are you eating? It's like, I'm hungry. I'm like, I can't do that.
Jims just crack me up. I'm like, I don't even know if I could smell a Slim Jim, but he's like grooving on it, and I'm like, good for you, man.
We've tried to figure out, it's like, okay, if we ever made him eat healthy, it would probably kill him.
That is awesome.
But I did try, I've been trying different things like Hammer and stuff, more drinking stuff and, pulling in calories that way and trying different ways, which actually helps because it kind of sits better on my stomach. I don't feel
Okay.
full. I feel, I do get, I can feel it definitely get into my body. So, how you get that little bit of ache in your legs and you're like,
Yeah.
oh, I'm getting drained. So I got to figure out, I got to take in. But I'm going to have to get some, we're talking different things for solid foods and stuff, especially kind of a little bit of rest and then eating something higher calories, a little more protein and stuff. And then get a good little few hour, hour or two rest,
Yep.
sink in, and then get back.
So what is your strategy going to be in terms of, I know you've got, is it your girlfriend coming down to help crew?
Yeah, Katie's gonna help, and I think Joel's wife will probably be there too as well, because I think we'll
Right.
have a truck. She'll be able to go places like when you first get off the beach where we can't bring the other camper and
Right.
stuff. It'll at least help, because by the time we get off the beach, we'll need to resupply something. So it's like,
Yep.
get there, give us stuff, and then we'll have the next 20 to get to the. Where the camper is, so we can sit and rest for a little bit and go on from there.
There you go. So are you gonna try and break it up like into 20s and have the crew about every 20 miles?
Pretty much, yeah. Try to keep to that. And then, like everything else, we just break it up into 5 mile segments. I know by the time 5 miles, I gotta eat, drink something, do something. So we'll keep it like at that. So kind of rhythm, 5 miles,
Okay.
eat something, do, things, make sure everything's doing right, and then by the time you get through four of them, it's 20 miles and you're like, okay, now we're gonna try to rest for like, I think about an hour,
Okay.
the first 20, and then basically by the time we get off the beach and then get going for the next after that, and then take a longer rest after that period.
How are you going to approach going into the night? Are you going to run? Are you going to rest at night, or are you going to run through the night?
No, we'll end up running.
Okay.
Wherever it falls, it's we'll get back up and then get going again.
Okay.
Yeah, I think as long as we get a, a few hours sleep or something between, every so often, and I can get back. So really kind of limiting, try to limit to about like 6 hours a day to rest, somewhere around there.
Yep.
Rest is just, running and
Yeah,
walking.
just exactly. There you go. Well, and I mean, it helps to, give you a little bit more energy to kick it in and go get it again, you know?
Yeah, and I do hear like different people saying, rest is needed, but not a long rest, not
Right.
really like regular sleep or anything. It's like if you get
Yeah, I think if you talk to Thomas, he'll tell you his biggest mistake last year was too much rest. So,
I
yeah.
did hear one time, I was listening to other podcasts related to a lady on the West Coast, and she was talking about these multi-day events and stuff, and she was talking about it, and she was like, most people think you need a lot of rest. And she said, no, most of the time it's, if you get 2, 3 hours max, really to feel something and get back, if
Yep.
you limit to that, you're definitely rested enough, at least from what I've heard. I don't know if I'll
Because
agree with that.
you're gonna recover just enough to get back out and hammer it again.
Yeah.
And yeah. I
I'm a
mean,
big
when I did 72, the 72-hour rest, my longest rest break was I took a 3-hour downtime. And of that, I mean, you're not sleeping for 3 hours. I mean, I probably slept for two. Maybe at the most. And the rest of it was fidgeting and, going, okay, is my stuff charging? Is it really charging? Is it really, really charging? So I mean yeah. So I mean that's kind of, what you do. And then, your body just says, hey, dummy, close your eyes and go to sleep. And so yeah, but you're right. I mean, 2 to 3 hours and you're fine. And then you get back out and you hammer it again. Some people will take more than that. I mean, there'll be people on this thing that they'll go down for 8 hours. And I mean, everybody has every yeah, that's why I always tell people, everybody is different. So you can't take a one size fits all approach to, any technique because everybody is going to react to the miles differently.
I can imagine. Yeah. I don't know. I'll see how I feel after. Sometimes.
Well, here's the hint. You're gonna feel like crap, but you gotta keep moving. So there you go.
Somebody will kick me. Get going.
Yeah. There'll be somebody around, and Joel will always be there to remind you to eat something. So
Yeah, he'll be snacking. Like, what
that's
the?
right. He'll be going, can we stop and grab some more food?
Yeah, we were going down, and there's those signs through the cities and stuff, and he was looking at them, and it's like one had a big steak on it, and he was like, oh my God, what I'd give to get that steak right now. It's like,
That's awesome.
we
Yeah,
saw
you
this
guys
ship.
are gonna have so much fun.
Yeah, it will be kind of interesting, especially at, I don't know, at nights when you start getting delirious, I think, in a little bit. Usually by the time the sun comes up, I feel better.
Yep.
When we did the 24-hour race, I felt better when the sun came back up. I was like, okay, now I feel a little more charged. For some reason, that definitely helps your body wake a little bit up and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, sunrises are the best, man. That's my favorite time. Like I in these type of races will never miss a sunrise 'cause the sunrises are just they're like golden. I mean, you go from moving like a zombie to all of a sudden it's like I got a spring in my step, I feel good. Doesn't matter if I haven't eaten, lately. It just the sunrise just gives you a ton of energy.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to tell him to slow down and watch.
I don't think you'll have that problem. By
Yeah,
the time you get to your first sunrise, you should probably be, I mean, you're going to be 12 hours in, almost 12 hours in, and it'll be somewhere in that Desolation Alley to Salvo area is my guess you guys will be. And you'll be treated to a glorious, amazing sunrise. So you're going to love it.
was like this. You told me about the stars at night, so I was like,
Yeah.
look up, gaze.
Yeah. It's
Awesome.
my favorite thing in the world to do is get someplace where there's no street lights, there's nothing, turn your headlamp off and just I've laid down in the sand before and just gone, wow, I am so privileged that I get to be out here enjoying amazing stars in the sky and you just see every single one of them and it's mind-blowing. It's gonna be
Yeah.
great, man.
I keep trying to look a little bit ahead of the weather and see what how it thinks the predictions are. I hope we have a good weather, but I can't always count on that.
Yeah, well, every year, this is my 3rd year doing it, and every year I start looking at the weather a month out, and every year, the week of it changes drastically from what it was a month out, and then both years, the rainstorms that we've had just come out of nowhere, and it's like my 1st year running, I remember I was getting into Buxton, and all of a sudden I get this text, hey, all runners, big storm with possible hail, strong winds. If you can get off and get to shelter, get off and get to shelter. And like 20 minutes later, for some reason, I don't even know why, I had decided to book a hotel in Buxton. And so I had a hotel reservation. They said, hey, we'll leave the keys in the door. And I was going to go up and to the lighthouse and turn around. And I got to the hotel and like I had just gotten the text and everything. And I'm sitting there debating. I'm like, it's only a mile and a half up there, mile and a half back. It's only 3 miles at the most. It's going to take me 45 minutes. Yeah, I should be able to do it. And like at the last second, it just said, no, get the key, go up to the room. I opened the door to the room and I'm telling you, all hell broke loose. I mean, it was wind, there was hail, rain like you'd never seen before. And I'm just sitting in the room going, that was a good choice. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah,
And
that's
then,
a worry. A little bit of worry is how the weather is going to play, and how strong the winds are, how big the gusts. Because usually, if you got a good headwind, it's going to be like you're creeping.
That last year coming back, when Richard and I hit the beach, I mean, it was pouring down rain and the wind was that swirly type of wind where you don't ever not have a headwind. I mean, it's like, I don't care what direction you're going, it's a headwind. And then the rain stopped and it was out of the north the rest of the time we were out there and it never stopped. And sometimes it got so strong that, I mean, we were almost knocked off our feet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's going to be what it's going to be. And you just, keep on pointing your toes in the direction you want to go and moving forward, man. And that's all you can do.
I think we can accomplish that, definitely.
You guys are going to be fine. You guys are going to be just fine. So, Swami Shuffle coming up, and then you guys run in Virginia 24 again. Do you guys have any other races on your schedule for 2025?
Definitely at the end we're going to do the JFK 50.
Are you? Okay, cool.
We've been talking about it. We're going to do it for the last couple of years, and we were planning on doing it, and then kind of got to the to never got registered and things like that. So we decided that this year we'll definitely do that one. And it looks like it's a well done race.
Is.
Almost like every 2 miles, they got a freaking aid station.
Yeah,
So
they do.
Joel
Yeah.
will be very equipped for eating each one
There you go,
of
Joel. Joel
them.
will have a great time. The year I ran it was COVID year of 2020. So aid stations were a little bit different. So yeah, JFK is a fantastic race and you're gonna absolutely love it. And I will tell you that tiny section that's only like 12 miles that's on the Appalachian Trail.
Up and
It's
down.
fun. It's fun. The Weaverton Cliffs are like nothing you've ever done before.
Luckily, it's right at the very beginning, so
Yeah.
let
Yeah.
me
So
get that out of the
your
way.
last 30 miles is all tow road.
So I think that we're gonna do the night train one again. It's over
Okay.
in Farmville, so it's
Yep.
just 50K, and that one's flat. That's on the old railroad.
Yep. That'll be fun.
Yeah,
Cool.
just little things to keep moving.
There you go. So,
Usually, what I've done before is try to do something once a month and
okay.
use that, I guess, as part of training
Yeah.
for a
So
variety of
what keeps you running? What keeps you motivated to keep running, Keith?
I don't know anymore. It's like I just do it as part of my routine.
Okay.
Like
So it's
part of,
like life now, right?
it's kind of one of those things where we'll talk about it. I'll be like, "Oh, you want to go running?" They're like, "Okay, how far?" He's like, "Well, 20 miles." I was like, "Okay." You kind of think about it. You're like, "Okay, nah, that's fine." And you get different places, and you know where you can go and kind of wind through. And a lot of times I kind of blank out, or we're talking about something, so you don't even pay attention a lot of times.
Right.
It's kind of just there. And a lot of times, and some of the, most of the other ones we go, we see people that we know. So it's always kind of interesting and talking with them and catching back up and
Yeah.
what races they did and, talking about stuff like that. And I don't know. Some of the races, I don't even remember too much. It's like you talk to the people, you stop at the aid stations, you kind of chat, you keep going, and it goes by. It really does go by. People
Yeah.
ask, how do you do that for hours? And I'm like, I don't even realize it's been hours, actually.
Yeah.
You don't. So it kind of helps. We do a lot of cross training with
Okay.
CrossFit and stuff like that. So that part, I guess, the strength actually helps for us, or for at least for me. And I guess that kind of helps on the endurance side, but I don't know.
It does. Ultra running isn't a leg sport, it's a core sport.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because the other people that work at CrossFit, they're like lifting all this weight and everything. But they, well, how do you run all that? And I'm like, well, I don't know. But I don't try to lift a lot of weight. I can lift moderate rate, very fast and a lot of times, but I really don't have their strength, but it does help because it is like that is definitely more of a all body core and everything together, And sometimes we've done other things before with other people, and other people were like really strong. We used to have this workout where you had to do and you benched 135 and you had to do it 100 times. And
Oh,
so
wow.
what the thing was is how many times can you do it before you burn out? But you can't burn out. You have to do it enough to where you can repeat that. Like you said, it's just repeating those miles over and over and over and over.
Yep.
And so your body kind of gets conditioned in that way. Once you realize where that limit is, if you just back off a little bit, you can do that forever almost. And it's weird that that happens. And there was a guy that was really strong, and he came out one day and he was like, basically, you incurred a penalty for every time you had the rest, stop between. But in my mindset, I already knew I could do 10 times. So
Okay.
I knew that was my limit. So I did that. But this other guy, he went out and he was like doing 20. And then the next set, he could only do maybe 12, and it diminished so fast. I mean, he was doing singles by the time he was, within 4 or 5 sets, and he was just doing
Wow.
singles. And
And
you're
then he's
like,
having to rest in between and
yeah. And he did, it was taking forever. And he was like, well, how did you do that? I'm like, because I already know my body's limits. That's where that's the thing is, you have to know, I'm not stronger than you. I just know where I can do that and keep repeating because the muscle never goes to fatigue or failure. And
yeah.
so that's where people get skewed. It's like, oh, I can do all this. And it's like, you're gonna get to failure regardless of how much you can bench. It's when or where it's gonna happen. And so the same thing is kind of like the running thing. It's the same aspect, like that's where I'm starting to think about it because of we were talking about, miles per hour and stuff, how much you can do. And if you back off, I'm pretty sure I could keep running that pace as long as it's a pace that my muscles can maintain, sort of
Right.
deal. So that's where I'm That's what I'm trying to play that game. I've seen it before, but now I had to put that into running.
Yeah, and I mean, and here's the great thing. You're going to adapt during the race. So, like we talked about the last time, everybody has a plan to get punched in the face. And then you get to change your plan and you get to go, okay, that didn't quite go to plan, so how do I adapt and now do this just as strong as I was doing before, but in a different way? And so you guys are going to learn that, and you're going to be fine. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll definitely grow from this. Really, should help us going into the 24 hour because we want to try to get to 100 on 24 hour.
All right, so let's start wrapping this thing up. So I ask everybody, when you hear the phrase living an ultra life, what's the first thing that pops into your head?
I don't know. I think of friendship and stuff just because of the people I've met, the things I've done, and the camaraderie of stuff that I've seen.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. All right, man. We're gonna have a blast during Swami Shuffle 200. You looking forward to this thing, man?
Oh yeah, definitely true.
All right. Not getting nervous yet, are you?
No, I hadn't been actually the whole time.
Good.
It was starting to play, but I'm starting to think more how I'm, prepare really.
You guys are gonna be fine. You're gonna have a great time. You're gonna be chomping at the bit to sign up for your next 200.
We need to do another race with you. Joel was like, how does Mike go out everywhere and go see all these things? He's like, I need to do that. I don't know if he
Come
could do
on, man.
that, and go in a circle 3,000 times.
Yeah, well, that was a little bit different. That was one of the crazier things I've done. So yeah, 6 days in a dome in a hockey arena. That was different, and I'll probably do it again. And I'll go out to the desert and see how many times I can do a loop around baseball stadiums too.
Okay.
Yeah.
We will see one time, definitely.
Definitely. All right, Keith. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
You, Mike.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.